Excited to be here with you. I'm Pastor Matt. I'm one of the elders here at Redeemer Community Church, and it's my joy to share God's word with you today. We're going to get back into John's gospel today. We're going to be in John 10 today. To kind of back us up a little bit, last week we had the joy of having Dave Harvey here, and we talked about the quest for contentment, and it was a great message. I hope encouraged you. As we think about John 10 and getting back into this, there's a bit of a shift here, and we're going to catch up to where we've been. Kind of we're going to look back and look forward to kind of get our context for this. But, you know, when I think about ways that God has developed me as a man, it's a weird statement, but I love movies. And the Christian movies you think of, right, like Lord of the Rings, it's not really a Christian movie, but that's what, like, pastors reference that movie, so they're like, it must be a Christian movie. They're Christian themes, right, and good, great movie. The Hobbit, not as good, but okay, right? They're these kind of epic movies that point to something greater than yourself. And you'd think that if I was going to give a movie illustration, I would speak out of one of those, since besides Star Wars, those are some of my favorite movies. But I'm not. I'm going to speak out of a different. We're going to show a little clip just out of one movie that I especially am fond of, that I have liked for many years before I was even married. I was an adult when I fell in love with this movie, and you're going to find a lot of indictment against me once I show this to you. But for our context today, as we think about Jesus as the shepherd, some of us, this is a foreign concept of shepherds and sheep. Like, we don't live around them. Some of us maybe have seen pictures, or we've been driving through the hillsides and we've seen them. We don't really have any idea what robbers coming in and stealing sheep and all that. We don't really have a context. So we're going to watch a short clip from this movie, and if you recognize it, you can enjoy it with me. So let's play that.
The pig knew it was against the rules to leave the farm, but something was definitely wrong.
How lovely, darling. What is it?
It's a fax machine, Mother. You can send us letters by phone.
At any other time, the pig would have been tickled pink by his first visit to the sheep fields. But now, there was fear in the air. Ma and her kind were under threat.
Good dog. Good pig.
There we have a lovely pastoral scene of sheep in the countryside. But if you're not familiar with that movie, I highly recommend it. There's talking animals. There's singing mice in it. It's a cute, sweet movie. And maybe the point of that movie is more about be who you are, but that's not really what our sermon's about. I just wanted to give us a visual of what this is supposed to take place in Australia, and they do a lot. There's lots of sheep and shepherding. But you see the idea of robbers breaking in and stealing sheep. Not a common theme or understanding for us that we would go, oh yeah, you know, when I grew up, I used to have a sheep farm next to me. So just a visual for us to think about that as we get into John 10 today. So the previous chapters in John's gospel, we've seen Jesus say pretty significant things to people that they have not wanted to hear. You think about back several chapters in chapters 5 and 6 and where Jesus has fed the multitude and the people want miraculous food. And what does he say to them? He says, I am the bread of life. The people are thirsty and they see the pouring out of water at the other feasts and they come to Jesus and he says, I am the living water that satisfies. Want to see the torches at the festival or the pillar of flame that led the Israelites through the wilderness? I'm the light of the world. And that gets us up to chapter 9, which is what we were talking about the man born blind. So I want you to catch that. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And the next thing he does is heals a man who's never seen the light. And so we have this sort of context of what Jesus is building up for here. And we get to the end of chapter 9, and Jesus condemns the false guides that while they can see, they're blind. And those that are blind have now been given sight. And he says that the very last verses of it, and then it gets to chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 10. And so that sort of sets our context for where we're going to head to. This man that was born blind has seen the light. He's moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son. And that sets us up for this. So we're going to dive in. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Before we do that, let's pray together and ask for God's help in this time. Father, we come to you knowing your word is living and active. And it can pierce us, Father. And may it pierce us today as you've pierced me this week with it. May it pierce all of us and change us. Father, awaken those that are deaf to the truth. Father, if those that are dead in sin and dead to the gospel, that whether they're listening online or they're here in the building, Father, you by your word and spirit would awaken them to the glories of Christ. May you as a shepherd lead us today, we pray in Jesus' good name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll dive into some ideas about it to help us, hopefully. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. He may have dogs, I don't know, right? He's a thief and a robber. He comes in the wrong way. But he who enters the door by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Common here. This figure of speech Jesus used to them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. That's very common, right? They don't get it. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen. So we don't, I don't know if anybody did grow up around sheep. I didn't. I grew up around orange groves and cattle in South Florida. So I didn't know a lot, but I love this movie, but because I like talking animals. That really isn't, you know, anything to do with sheep. I liked it. But this idea of when Jesus is referencing sheep pens and gates and how this works, again, this is a first century illustration that still goes on to this day. If you go to shepherds in Africa, this would be similar to the way they would raise sheep. In other parts of the world, they would still have these. Some modern things have developed, so they don't have the old sheepfolds that they once did in some places. But to set the stage here, we think about that. Back in Jesus' day, people were going to be very conversant about this. This would have been very normal for him to say, hey, I'm the good shepherd. There's thieves and robbers that come in and steal. They go in the wrong way, because it was very normal for families in the hillside of Galilee and where these places would raise sheep that they would have a common sheepfold at their house that maybe had two or three families worth of sheep that they would collect at night and they'd be able to watch over them while they stayed there. So there was a sheepfold that had probably rock walls and maybe some briars on top to keep. We didn't have barbed wire back then, so, you know, they had to have something to keep people from crawling over the wrong way. And there was always a gate. And usually there was a gatekeeper. There was someone they paid that would watch and let them, the actual shepherds, come. And so because there were all these different sheep in this sheepfold, the shepherd had to train the sheep to know his voice. He couldn't just, because he wanted to call them and get them out and take them to pasture. And so he had to train them to know his voice from the time they were little bitty lambs all the way till they were full-grown adults. And so that's what Jesus is kind of speaking into, this idea of there's a sheepfold, there's people that guard it, there's people that go in the wrong way. Everybody would have known that. Nobody goes in over the walls. Nobody does that. You got to go through the gate. That's how it works. So very common understanding of the way people would let sheep in and out. But Jesus says something very important, and we're not going to get to verse 11. Obviously, we stopped that, but he calls himself in this section the good shepherd. So today we're going to think about Jesus as the true shepherd. He's not a thief or a robber. He is the true shepherd. And the first thing we want to see is that Jesus, the true shepherd, cares for his sheep. He cares for his sheep. The shepherd in the story protects them. He leads them in and out. He takes them to pasture. He cares about them. I mean, he protects the sheep as a way of showing he cares for them. He guards the way in and out for them. He guards it. So he lets them come and go. Just very simply, you and I can have confidence because Jesus truly does care for us. He pays attention to what's going on with us. He knows what's going on with you and your comings in and goings out. This isn't just a sheep story. This is an analogy for us to draw hope from. We can believe high and mighty things and sing songs like we did. We're ridiculously good songs today. Thank you, worship team, that about Jesus, and we can do that, but this text reminds us that it's not just that Jesus dwells on a high and lofty place, but he is with the broken and contrite, that he has daily attention and care for his people. He protects his sheep, and by his Spirit, he helps us know what is or isn't what he wants. That God can guard us from walking in paths of unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit is the one that's supposed to comfort us in affliction, but also brings to mind the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and the other scriptures to help us grow in wisdom and understand what we should and shouldn't do in our daily lives. And that's going to help protect us from unrighteous living, but it also is going to protect us from self-righteous living. To think that maybe you're a little bit better than the person down the street, that you're doing a little bit better than them because you don't have the same sin problems they do. It protects us from both of those things, and that's a sign of Jesus' care, that he's left us his word and he's given us his Spirit because he cares about us. A shepherd would daily interact with each of his sheep. They had to examine them. They would go over their whole bodies and get under the wool, and they'd check their noses and their heads for parasites, for scabs, for problems, for weakness in their legs, or all kinds of issues. Any kind of blight that would be harmful to the sheep or to the flock. And Jesus also does that. That's what he wants to know. He examines us by his word and reveals anything that is sucking the life out of us. Just like a parasite would to a sheep that can ultimately kill it, he examines and reveals and shows us those things that we shouldn't walk in. But not only that, it could be something that's in danger of harming our witness, could harm our brothers and sisters in Christ. So Jesus is daily attending to us and examining us and helping us by his word and his spirit because he cares for us. And this would be in contrast to the strangers and thieves, right? That he's saying, I'm not like that. I don't come in over the wall. I'm the true shepherd that comes in. But God is warned about these false shepherds in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the whole chapter is about it, but I'm just going to read you a couple of verses. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? And to understand this, that shepherds is supposed to be for pastors. That's the word. And these people that were supposed to shepherd the flock of God were not doing it well. They were shepherding people to get from them. They were trying to steal and to kill and destroy. They were trying to get things from people by their shepherding. And God condemns that. Jeremiah 23 says it this way. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you've not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. And Jesus is here saying he's not like those false shepherds from the Old Testament, or like the Pharisees of his time that heap burdens and that drive them into a more difficult life of shame and guilt and recurring themes like that. I think that's a good word for us as your leaders, as elders. We don't want to neglect you or drive you away, but care for you. When you have struggles, when you have challenges, we want to care for you. We want to protect you. We want to feed you from God's word and lead you. And we want to do that to be people who love and follow Jesus and are full of grace and truth. That's a big deal to us as your pastoral people, as your leaders and shepherds. But we don't do it perfectly, right? You get that. But Jesus does. Jesus is that kind of shepherd. Jesus is always caring for us, always protecting, feeding, always doing those things. And he gives us rest for our souls and healing us. As we seek to follow Jesus, we want to display that to you as his flock. This is what Peter writes in his fifth chapter of his first letter. He says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That's the kind of shepherds that we want to be to you here at Redeemer. But even in our failings, we know that Jesus is that true shepherd. So he protects the sheep because he cares for them, but he also speaks to the sheep. Jesus protects the sheep, but he speaks to his sheep. When we think about this text of what he says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. So, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So, Jesus, the shepherd, speaks to his sheep. He calls them out of the sheepfold to come with him. And the sheep know his voice. It's not just that he speaks to them and they'll get it. They know. This is one of the distinguishing marks that separates a stranger from the shepherd. The sheep know how he sounds. They know the voice of the shepherd. the point of this sermon, I think, or any sermon, not that I can manufacture, that by God's Spirit, even today, we might hear Jesus' voice and his call in our lives. That's what every time you read the Bible, that's what every time you sit under a sermon, is to hear the voice of Jesus calling you home, calling you back over and over and over again. That's what we pray for and hope for, but there's still this mystery that oftentimes in unexpected ways or seasons that our hearts are stirred afresh to hear and obey the voice of Christ through his word, by his Spirit, that we hear and go, there's times we're moved to go, I want to follow Jesus in everything I do. That's what we all should be desirous of and going to great effort in our personal and communal study of God's word, whether in small groups at church or in your own personal time. You're not just getting more Bible facts that you can win on Jeopardy some week, right? You want to know his voice better and better so you can follow him better and better. So to know him as our shepherd, we're to know his voice as he calls us out of darkness and in the ongoing ways he calls us to follow him. I think the challenge is we live in such a time where we spend so much time, especially those under 40, but probably all of us, we spend it online. We encounter even friendship that we think this is a good thing because those people are speaking into our lives. But the truth is those people are strangers. Acquaintances is best. I've got lots of friends on Facebook that I don't ever talk to. They try to sell me Ray-Bans and stuff, so I don't know if we're really friends, but I get those notifications. But we spend so much time online, and there's so many voices that Instagram can tell you this is what you need to look like. Or any social media platform that tells you this is how many followers you need to be successful. Follow my platform and you'll get this or that. There's so many competing voices. We live so much of our lives online, and we tend to form what we think about ourselves, about others and the world, based on what strangers think. This is the opposite of what Jesus is teaching in John 10. We're to form up what we think to be true about what he says about us, by his voice, because to do it any other way is dangerous and potentially harmful to us and to others. We are to listen to the voice of Jesus, what he has declared to be true of us by his life, death, and resurrection, that we're valuable not because we're awesome, but because he's awesome, because he's done everything. That should be the most valuable and impactful voice in our lives. And it should be good news for him, for each of us, that he does speak to us still. But he doesn't just speak to us in generic terms. He also calls us by name. Jesus calls his sheep by name. Back when Jesus was speaking, and some in modern times, what they would do is they'd give nicknames to the sheep based on their characteristics. You know, flat nose or big ears would have been my name, I think. Jesus would have called me big ears. The shepherd knew the individual traits of each sheep. He didn't just generically call them. He called them individually because he cared for them. He calls them by name. So it's good to know the shepherd's voice, but he would call, hey, Blackfeet, come, and they came. They learned to know his voice, and they learned to know that he knew their name. Jesus knows us so well and cares for us so much that he calls us by name. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Kent Hughes, theologian, says it this way. Jesus knows us in the most profound ways. He knows our past with its failures, its hurts. He knows our present, our unrealized longings. He knows us in the most intimate ways. He knows us, all of us. My question is, do you spend time with the shepherd? Do you know his voice? Do you know his daily care in a million different ways? Another way he cares for his sheep is he feeds the sheep. These are all connected. I mean, he protects us by his word. He speaks to us by his word. He calls us by name through his word. He feeds us by his word. These are very central themes we think about. But his care has shown that he doesn't let us wander in hunger. A bad shepherd would not feed his sheep. He would not take them to good places to feed and learn and eat. That was bad shepherding. And Jesus offers us daily opportunities to hear his voice and feed our souls from his word. I mean, when we truly slow down and prayerfully read, we find our souls fuller than when we started. And we're able to rest and to read and to find satisfaction in Christ alone. Think of the way the psalmist says this in Psalm 90. This prayer that he says is, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. That's the work of God feeding our souls to satisfy us. I mean, this is what Jesus was talking about those previous chapters, that he's the bread of life. He's the river that doesn't run dry. He's the water of eternal life. He's the one that satisfies us because he feeds our souls. So Jesus offers us personal opportunities. He offers us opportunities to learn through communities of faith, maybe in your small group or a Bible study, that you have opportunity to develop rich gospel conversations, relationships that Jesus can speak into your life. Through circumstances sometimes that he meets with you and calls you out of something or encourages you into something, that he can lead you through those communities of faith that's centered around the word and gospel. Perhaps a word given at an apt time, prayer for a need, much-needed encouragement can all be vehicles for us to hear the voice of Jesus and for our souls to be fed. So there's certainly a personal aspect of it. There's a communal aspect, but Jesus also offers us regular opportunities to sit under God's word in church and to learn to distinguish God's voice from all the myriad voices that clamor for our attention and affection in our daily lives. When we come to church, it's to reset, to hear the voice of Christ. What he says matters most for our lives and our families, for our community. And that's why we make coming to a church a priority. I'm glad you're here. And for you online, we love that you're online. But that's why we make sitting under God's word a priority. Not because it ticks a box or just to see friends or fill out your social calendar. It's a huge way that we get to hear from God by his word and be re-inclined to his voice so we can follow him better. You have to ask yourself, is church a priority for you? It's been a tough year for church to be a priority, right? COVID has not made it easy or maybe it has. Maybe it's made it easy to say church isn't a priority. But for a lot of us, there were real significant reasons why we couldn't be together. But as we reemerge from this and we're starting to gather together, you have to ask, is church a priority for you and your family? Or is it something else on a list? Is it kind of the spoke on the wheel, or is it more central? Is the gospel and hearing Jesus' voice at church, is that central for you, or is it something else? Are you regularly praying for those of us that preach God's word, that we would speak into your hearts by God's good spirit and change us more and more to be like Jesus? I hope you have prayed for Bob, for myself, for anyone that stands up here and preaches. Not because we need your pity, but because there's a mystery here. That if it's going to go beyond what I say, and it's going to be Jesus that's actually speaking, that's a supernatural work that God alone can do. So Jesus, the true shepherd, he cares for his sheep. He cares for them. Secondly, Jesus is not just the shepherd. He's the door. He gives his sheep access to God's kingdom. This is foundational. The text flows like this. He's the door after he's the shepherd, but you can't be your shepherd unless you've gone through the door. And he's clarifying because he uses this figure of speech and they don't get it. And you think about how many times he has to circle back with the disciples and help them understand. They don't get it first time. Okay, let me explain to you again. In the same way, they don't get this figure of speech he uses. They don't understand what he's talking about. But so here he says, I am the door. I'm the way in. And Jesus, the true shepherd, gives his sheep access to God's kingdom. There's two kinds of groups that when we think about people that have access to God's kingdom, there's two groups of people I would talk about. The first one are those that know him. You can't have access to the kingdom if you don't know Jesus. You can know about Jesus, and you can know things about the kingdom, but you don't have access to the kingdom without him. He's the door or the gate in verse 7. Still, in some sense, he's shepherding the sheep, but more definitively marking the singular way to being a part of God's flock or God's family. To know him as our shepherd, we must endeavor to know the character that he has. Who is this Jesus that's the door, the entrance to God's kingdom? I mean, some shepherds are unkind. Reading Philip Keller's book, which I'll reference here in just a second, it's a shepherd's reflections on Psalm 23. And he was a shepherd. He had sheep herding ranches and grew up around shepherding. And his reflections are really helpful, but part of what he examines in that is what the neighboring shepherds were like, how the sheep were unhealthy and starving and driven almost insane by their daily issues. Some shepherds are unkind. And even in our lives, it could be they don't know us or care for us because they have poor or weak character. And that character can waver. And what their care for us can waver if we don't cow to their voice. That's a bad shepherd that doesn't care for you like Jesus does. This is what Keller says, one of the things he says in this book, which I highly recommend to you. Great book, quick read. He says, how amazing is it that individual men and women vehemently refuse and reject the claims of Christ in their lives? They fear that to acknowledge his ownership is to come under the rule of a tyrant. This is difficult to comprehend when one pauses to consider the character of Christ. Admittedly, there have been many false caricatures of this person, but an unbiased look at his life quickly reveals an individual of enormous compassion and incredible integrity. We have to get to know who he is so we'll embrace the glory that he's given us to enter and be a part of his family. And Jesus has shown himself to be full of grace and truth, to be humble and lowly in heart towards sinful people, to be compassionate to the weak and suffering, and to be challenging and correcting to the unjust and self-righteous. He has shown us his tenderness and care in so many ways as we study him in his word. But he's also shown his power by what he says, his preaching and teaching ministry that is astounding, his authority and power that he speaks into things. But his words also have power that he heals and forgives. It's not just what he says, it's also what he does. He physically touches people and heals lepers and restores sight and restores the ability to walk. Jesus has power. And because he is the true shepherd, because he is kind and compassionate, and because he's powerful, he can give us access to God's kingdom. And if this Jesus is our shepherd, we can have confidence that he has the power and wisdom of God himself to open up the gate to God's kingdom. We can have confidence that he can do that. Jesus says he'll call us by name and lead us in and out of the fold. It's again amazing that sheep know the voice of their shepherd. We have a German shepherd that some of you know about. She's not a small dog. She's energetic, 4-year-old German shepherd. When we first got her and some people tried to stay with us, we had a little wireless collar that would shock her if she went past the boundary. But 90 pounds of German shepherd doesn't really care much about that. And she also doesn't care sometimes at other people's voices. When we've learned as our family that if the dog needs to do both of her businesses, that dad needs to take her out. That something my voice is commanding to her to get her to do what she needs to do. It is irritating just about every day. I would love for someone else to be able to take her and do that. But that's the closest I get to knowing this idea of knowing that this truth, that Jesus, the true shepherd, gives us access to all of God's kingdom, still knows our name. Just like I know my dog, and she knows my voice, and she responds to it, and she comes when I call her, and she does what I tell her to do most of the time. It's not a perfect analogy. But in the same way, it's this amazing mystery that Jesus is all-powerful to give us access and yet knows our name and knows us. His power is huge and his desire to do that, but it's not just that that's amazing. It's that he has the desire and willingness to make a way for his sheep to come home. Jesus doesn't just have a way and have the ability to, he wants his sheep to come home. And he actively pursues sheep. Next week, you're going to hear more about, I have sheep from another fold. And he's actively going to pursue them. Jesus desires for his sheep to come home. And we can rest in the full knowledge that Jesus knows us, failures, weaknesses, and all, and still loves us and leads us well. We can also rest in knowing that Jesus wants us to be with him. He doesn't just want us to know about him. He wants us to be with him. That's why he called disciples, was to be with him, and then that they may go do other things. He doesn't just clear our way to God because he has to, although there's, I'm sure, a sort of requirement that he had to pay for that. But he went to the cross and rose from the dead because he loves us. Do you believe that? I mean, that's, Bob said that from here, that Jesus really loves you. Every one of us as his sheep. And he knows your name. And he's made a way for you to be a part of his kingdom. So we got to get to know him. It's an ongoing growth that we need to do. But it's also what he says, there's a second mark, is those that follow him. He calls them out. He's the door, and he leads them in and out. And he says, and they follow me. And they go where I lead them. Another key mark for those that know Jesus as their shepherd, as the true shepherd, is that they follow where he leads. Some of you have had to make major life changes following Jesus. I've talked to some of you. It's amazing that you've made major life changes and sacrificed major things to follow and go where Jesus wants you to go. That's a huge mark in your life that you're doing more what Jesus wants you to do that honors him and glorifies him than it does what's easy. I mean, this can be in the daily employ of God's sheep, just the normal stuff, right? Just everyday things that you're following Jesus, your shepherd. Not that Jesus wants to micromanage your sock choices or where you eat lunch, although maybe he could be. If you're eating too much fast food, he may go, well, that may not be a good idea. In conversations and challenges with kids or spouses, sharing your faith with others, going to work, the kind of decisions you make day in and day out. But it could be true with big decisions, right? Like who you marry. What does Jesus want? What college or career to pursue? Where to live? What to do with your life? And so whether it's the big things or the little things, if we're going to follow him, we need to spend time praying, consulting with others who love Jesus, like your elders, like your small group leader, like a family member that loves the Lord and you can hear good things from them, and faithfully following God's word, being in it, immersed in it, to gain the wisdom you need for big moments and small moments. Over time, the small drip will change you as you seek to follow him. So, for those that know and follow Jesus, because their eyes have been opened to all that he is and all he's done, that we know him, we follow him, he's the only way. We don't banter about with other ways that are possible to get into God's kingdom. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. If we know that, what kind of life is in this kingdom? What does he want for us? What is this life that Jesus, the true shepherd, wants for us? Well, this final point is sometimes the most difficult to believe. The end of the text, verse 10. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The reason I say that's maybe the most difficult is sometimes life doesn't feel very abundant. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. There's hard days, hard times in relationships and marriage, kids, work. There's hard days following Jesus. So I want to make a bold statement. Jesus, the true shepherd, has good plans for his sheep. Good plans for his sheep. I mean, he's talking about, he's not taking, but rather giving. I mean, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, clearly that could be about our ultimate enemy. But it's been astounding to me to think about, he's really talking about the normal people. It's the people that don't know Jesus that are in your life that want to steal your joy, kill your hope, and destroy your faith. That's what people want for you. They may not say it that way, but that's a reality. Jesus is not like that. He doesn't want that. We as your under-shepherds don't want that. And maybe these false teachers, maybe people you listen to on the radio or TV, you hear a nugget, or I've got a friend that always tells me about the newest conspiracy theory. He's always got one. Always. And some of it's bizarre. This guy's a Bible teacher that you're listening to. And he's like, well, yeah, and he also, it just kind of gets off the rails, and we're talking about aliens, and if you like alien stuff, I don't want to hear about it. I really don't. That's on you. But there's this sort of sense of there are people in the world that want to turn you toward only thinking of your life or getting you thinking so much about conspiracies and the way the evil in the world is all a dynasty. They want to get you from thinking about Jesus and the abundant life that he wants for you. True shepherds always point to and look to Jesus as their shepherd. This week, I had to remember Jesus was my shepherd before I could stand up here and tell you he's your shepherd. He had to lead me through the study, the preparation, the thinking through all this. So that should be true of preachers and anyone who's teaching you the Word of God. I think we get that. I don't think that's weird for most of us. I think we're like, all right, I get that. Yeah, that's right, okay. We have an enemy, and certainly there are false teachers who, right, they seek through dishonest teaching to gain money. We think about name it, claim it people that get all the money, the jets, everything, power, influence. They're on TV, they're on, I was going to say Larry King, but I guess I missed that boat. He's gone. So, but they're on TV. They're powerful. They're influential. But do I really believe that Jesus has good plans for us? When we think about Jeremiah 29:11, that's when we got married, that was my wife's favorite verse. Then you keep reading, and that's about the Babylonian captivity. You're like, oh, okay. When we think about Jesus telling his disciples this story, and most of them didn't have much money, and all but one were killed for following Jesus. That doesn't sound abundant. I mean, oftentimes, circumstances cloud our minds from believing that Jesus has come to give us life and life to the full. Maybe we mix the metaphor and we think that should mean I have everything I want, or it's material blessings, or it's a stress-free life. We can mix in what the world, that voice of the world that tells us what an abundant life really looks like. And that's not necessarily what Jesus is after. Shepherds in Jesus' day were always taking the sheep away from danger and toward good pasture and rest. Always. And this is what Jesus still offers us today, but that may be harder to believe. So what does that look like? What is the abundant life according to Jesus? If that's what he says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, have abundant life, what does that look like? There's practically things Jesus has given us in the gospel that are a part of that abundant life. He's given us himself. We have Jesus as a substitute sacrifice for our sins. Think of what Romans 5 says. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the great people. No, for the ungodly. For the wicked, for the sinner, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. If you know a good person, you might die for them. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have Jesus. He is our sacrifice. We don't have to pay for our sins. That's the root of abundant life. That's the fullness of life, to know that you are set free from having to pay for your sins. But we also have hope through the resurrection, right? In 1 Peter, we've been born again to a living hope because Jesus is raised. Because he's alive, our hope is eternally bound up with him. We have freedom, not to serve our selfish desires, but to serve others in love. We have forgiveness for past, present, and future sins. I mean, think about this. You have access in your time of need to run to the throne of God. That is miraculous. We've been given all these things, but what about, how does the gospel bring spiritual life? Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, they bring a spiritual life to us, a vitality that we need. To dead souls, people that don't hear the voice of Christ, that don't want the voice of Christ, that don't want to respond to the gospel. Jesus comes to the least and the lost. And he does that for initial salvation, to the first entrance into the kingdom, but also in and out for ongoing sanctification, the work of God in your soul from the moment you come to Christ to the day you meet him in glory, that Jesus will continue to work through his gospel to show you how powerful he is. A couple quotes to kind of wrap up here before I give you some applications as we think about this. Again, Philip Keller says this, part of the mystery and wonder of Calvary, of God's love to us in Christ, is bound up too with the deep desire of his heart to have me live on a higher plane. He longs to see me living above the mundane level of common humanity. He's so pleased when I walk in the ways of holiness, of selflessness, of serene contentment in his care, aware of his presence, and enjoying the intimacy of his companionship. To live thus is to live richly. To walk here is to walk with quiet assurance. To feed here is to be replete with good things. To find this table land is to have found something of my shepherd's love for me. Jesus gives life, but he also gives life full of sustaining grace. If Jesus has made you alive through the resurrection, has become your shepherd, your life is all about growing to be more and more like Jesus, day by day, drip by drip, in your speech, in your actions, in your thoughts. But another part of your growth and sanctification is that you are to display and tell others about him. This is what God told Abram in Genesis, that God was calling him out to be a blessing to the nations. If that was his purpose for him, that's also his purpose in recreating a people that are a blessing to others. Jesus wants your life to be so full of him that others see and take notice. That people go, why do you have so much hope, right? That's what Peter talks about. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that begs that people are asking about it. We should be so full of him that people notice and want to know. And Jesus wants to shepherd you to having the same joy in him that he has in God. His gentle leadership is taking you not from joy, but to better joy. He's not keeping you from the good stuff. He's taking you to the best stuff. Jesus wants to shepherd us in ways that will help us and be good for those around us, our families, our neighbors, our coworkers. That should give us great joy that Jesus is the true shepherd. He has good plans for us. But if anything else gives you more joy, let me share this to wrap up with Matt Carter, pastor of the Austin Stone in Austin, Texas. He says, if your life is about anything other than Jesus Christ, that thing will steal your joy. It will rob you of the delight God wants you to have in Jesus. If your pursue antennas ultimate in your life other than Jesus, it will fail. But in Jesus Christ, regardless of your circumstances, you can discover unshakable joy and abundant life. Not an abundance of possessions or even an abundance of laughs, but a life overflowing with joy in Jesus. He promises the closer we walk with him and the more intimately we follow him, the greater our joy will be and the fuller our lives will be. So Jesus in John 10 is the true shepherd. Next week, he's the good shepherd. You get to hear that next time. But let me think about a couple things to help us process this, okay? Via application. One thing is we all need training. We all do. All of us need training. I need training. You need training. We all need training. Just as sheep have to spend time with the shepherd over years to learn what his voice sounds like and what his actions and heart are like, so we need to be trained. A couple things you need to be trained in, that I need to be trained in. How to hear the voice of Jesus, determining what is false and what's really him. Is it lunch, right? Is it I'm hungry? Or is it an impression? Is it emotion? Or is it God speaking into your soul? We need to be trained to determine if it's really him speaking or not. And also on how to follow the voice of Jesus. We need to be trained to not just hear it, but be doers of the word, to be followers of Christ. In big and small ways. Remember, it's not just the big things. We do Jesus things. We do it in everyday things. I mean, if you're facing a big decision in life or you have some uncertainty with family or a job situation, we as elders would love to pray for you, counsel you, come alongside you, offer practical help if we can. But we need to be trained to hear over time what that means. Well, that's going to be tied to God's word and sitting under and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and reading it and reading it and reading it so that you're so trained with the real thing, the counterfeit doesn't hold up. And that's the second thing that we need as we think about how God's going to feed us and do these things is God's people need God's word. We just do. I mean, just as sheep don't need the shepherd to only speak once a week or once a month, so we need to take in, hear, meditate on, and apply God's word in our lives. That should be just normal for us. If you're a sheep, that should be normal for you. Should be normal for me. Daily intake. We should be daily in the word. We should be memorizing scripture. We should be taking it in so that we don't sin against God, that we know better his voice, feeding our souls. We need community for applying God's word in real life so that we're not just hearers of the word, but doers also. But you also need regular church time, regular sermons. You need regular, authoritative pouring into your heart so you know that's what Jesus thinks. So you can then, when the world says, no, Jesus doesn't really care about what you do with your life as long as you go to church sometimes. You can go, that's not true. He cares about everything in my life. He cares about me. God's people need God's word. Thirdly, God's people need to grow in trust. It's hard to think some days when it's hard that Jesus really has good plans for us. I know that. I've been there. It's hard to. We need to all grow in trust. Just as sheep have to trust their shepherd to get them what they need or to go in the right season, so we need to grow in trust of our shepherd. We need to grow in trust of Jesus as our true shepherd for his timing and his results. We've got to learn because there's so many times in your life and my life where the timing doesn't seem right to us. And the results certainly don't always seem right, right? That's just kind of, that's a hard situation. It's hard for us to deal with. We need to grow in trust for God's timing and God's results. I hope that today you heard more about Jesus than you did about Matt. And your heart is stirred to follow him better. The truth is we all need reminders of Jesus as our true shepherd. We need to be reminded that he really is that. He's the one who really cares for us. He's the one who really provides for us and gives us access to God's kingdom, and he's the one who has good plans for us. His voice is best, but we forget that. And so every week, we come to remind ourselves of the gospel, of what has paved the way for us to have entrance to God's kingdom. It's why we do the Lord's Supper every week, so that when we drift, we can hear the voice of Jesus calling us back to, no, he's the only way. He's the only way that I have access to God's kingdom. And so it's through the body and blood of Jesus alone, in Christ alone, do we have hope and strength